Good morning. I felt like that song perfectly embodies the message today. The title to the message is Slaying Giants in Your Life. We'll open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for blessing us today. We thank you that your mercy is new every morning. And we thank you that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. There's truly no one like our Lord. How many of you know that we serve a God of impossibilities? The God who takes an impossibility and who can turn it into 100% probability. Have you ever faced something in your life that looked bigger than you? Something that made you question if you were enough? Because the truth is, every person in this room will face a giant. And if you haven't, just keep living. Today we will be looking at the life of King David, and particularly how he was chosen, anointed, and we'll look at the story of David versus Goliath. King David, he was born in a small town outside of Jerusalem, Bethlehem. He was a young shepherd boy, overlooked by many, but yet he was chosen by God. The same boy would grow into a warrior, a king, and even a poet. And his life reminds us that God does not choose based on your status, but God chooses based on the heart. Please turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Bible reads in 1 Samuel chapter 16, "Now the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him for reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go, and I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided myself a king amongst his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go if Saul hears it? He will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab, and he made him to pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse said to Shammaha, "Pass by." And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest. And there he is, keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." Now, when we look at the life of King David, we see he started as a shepherd boy from the house of Jesse. And in his own household, he was considered the least amongst his brothers. He was overlooked. He was undervalued and maybe even forgotten by men, but chosen by God. Have you ever felt like the runt of the litter? Like you didn't quite measure up? Like you were overlooked, maybe passed by, or even counted out? Or maybe you're looked at as the odd one in the room. Rahab, a prostitute in Jericho, who by faith helped the Israelites, was later included in the genealogy of Jesus. Consider Elijah, a mighty prophet who was in despair deeply that he wanted to die. Or consider Paul, who was named Saul, once a self-righteous persecutor of the church. He imprisoned believers and approved of their deaths before becoming a powerful apostle. God has always impacted people with broken passes to fulfill his perfect purpose. The Bible is full of examples that prove that God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. The Bible reads in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 12 through 13, "So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and bright eyes, good looking, and the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is the one.' Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah." Throughout my life and throughout your life, there will be many obstacles that try to block the plan of God. Some may be physical and others may be spiritual, but all of these obstacles are designed to test your faith and perseverance. Yet none of these obstacles come without purpose. God always has a plan. He always has a purpose in what he does. We serve a God with no limitations. The God who can take what seems to be an impossibility from a human perspective and make it 100% possibility. There's no battle that God can't fight for you. There's no obstacle in life that he can't remove. And there's nothing that can stand against the power of God in our lives. That includes sickness. God has the power to heal. That includes sin. God has the power to rescue and restore. Nothing is truly beyond the power of God. Now, before David ever stepped onto a battlefield, victory had already existed in God. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22, the prophet Samuel tells King Saul, "To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." What this means is God, he values the heart that listens and follows him. He values that heart more than outward religious actions. One can give, one can serve, one can even sacrifice, but if you're not walking in obedience, you're missing the mark. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29, we are reminded that God deliberately chooses the foolish. He chooses the weak. He chooses the despised things to shame the wise and the strong so that no one can boast in his presence. God doesn't need your abilities, He doesn't need your intellect, but he wants your heart. He uses those who truly desire to please him. And that's why he chose David. And often, those are the very ones who have been set aside and seen as having little value. Those are the ones that God chooses because they have little value to man. Now, this doesn't mean that God, he can't use a doctor or he can't use a lawyer or a great businessman, or that this doesn't mean that he couldn't use the rich young ruler. But when a man's position creates pride, it becomes an obstacle to God. Though David was the youngest and considered the least amongst his brothers, God did not see him the way that others did. While man looks at our outward appearances, the Bible says that God looks at the heart. And as we look at Samuel chapter 17, and we look at the summary, a summary of David versus Goliath, we will see why God chose David. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting at verse 20, it says, "And David rose up early in the morning, and he left the sheep with the keeper, and he took it, and he went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle." So when David arrives, he sees the armies of Israel and the Philistines are facing off. He hears Goliath defying Israel while the Israelite soldiers are afraid and fleeing. Instead of fearing, David responds with faith and boldness. He questions why no one has defeated Goliath, and he declares that the Philistine is defying the armies of the living God. How many of us in this room knows that one person with God is the majority? One person walking with God has the majority. We serve a God that has authority over all things. And King David understood that with God, all things are possible to they that believe. So David, he tells King Saul that he will fight Goliath, trusting God based on his past victories. Have you ever looked back over your life and you've seen the blessings of God? As you look back, David looks back over his life and he sees the past victories where a lion attacked his flock and God allowed him to overcome in that situation, or a bear. And these are the past victories that David can look back to, and he knows that God can sustain him in this situation. Though Saul doubts David, he allowed David to go. And David refuses the king's armor, and instead he goes forward with a sling and a stone. Goliath mocking David, but David declares that the battle, the victory belongs to God. The victory belongs to the Lord. So in verse 50 in chapter 17, the Bible reads that, "So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone." David slew him without a sword in his hand, proving that victory comes from God and not weapons or strength. David, he knew one thing. He knew that your past victories are preparation for your present battles. Let me repeat that again. He knew that your past victories are preparation for your present battle. The Bible tells us that we will experience trials and tribulations in life, but God's using those things to build us up. When the majority lacks faith to step out, God has called us to trust in Him anyway. He's called us to move when others hesitate, to believe when others doubt, and to stand when others fall back. And if you truly want to face and defeat the giants in your life, it will require a commitment to God that goes beyond the ordinary. A commitment that is based not on convenience, but on conviction. A commitment that isn't shaken by circumstances, but anchored to faith in Him. Because the temporary things of this world, those belong to the natural man. But victories over giants belongs to those who walk in the Spirit and trust fully in God. There are three things in reading these passages that stuck out to me in the battle against Goliath. The first thing being faith. The faith to trust God even when the odds are stacked against you. When no one else believes, but you do. God is always looking for someone who is willing to stand boldly in His word. The Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And David had that kind of faith. Secondly, courage. Courage to look the enemy in the face and still declare victory. The courage to stand when others are afraid. In life, we will face many trials and tribulations, but God has not called us to lose hope. Just as He commanded Joshua, He commands us today to be strong and to be courageous. And the third point is strength. Yes, David had physical strength, but if you look at Goliath, he had more physical strength than David. But more importantly, the difference between Goliath and David was the spiritual strength. A strength that didn't come from himself, but came from his relationship with God. Because when your strength comes from God, you can stand in battles that should have taken you out. And that's the key. If you want to defeat the giants in your life, you need faith to believe, courage to stand, and strength that only can come from God. In closing, church, hear me clearly. The same God that was with David is the same God that's with you today. Your giant may not be Goliath, but it might be fear. Your giant may not be Goliath, but it may be doubt. Your giant may not be Goliath, but it may be debt. It may be sickness. It may be pressure. It may be problems in your home. But I've came to tell you here today that your giant is not greater than your God. The battles you're facing, it doesn't belong to you. But the Bible teaches us that it belongs to the Lord. The Bible says that the battles are not ours, but those battles belong to the Lord. So the question is, will you stand like everyone else, afraid? Or will you step forward like David did? When you trust what you see, or will you trust what God has said? Because victory starts when you make your mind up that I will trust God no matter what the situation looks like. And if you're in this room today and you've been facing giants in your life, something that's been intimidating you, something that maybe has been discouraging you, making you feel like you're not enough, I want to be honest with you, because today is today that you make that shift in your life, putting God first and stopping running from the giants from your life in your life, and start walking in faith, in courage, and in strength. And if you do this, you too, like David, can face the Goliaths in life and prevail. Before we close, if life is weighing you down and every challenge that you face feels like a giant, I want you to know that you don't have to carry it alone. Our brothers will be here in the front if you need prayer. And if you don't know Jesus, but you're ready to fully commit your life to Jesus by walking in faith, we'll be out front. But whenever you're carrying today, I'm here to tell you to give it to Jesus, who can do the impossible. We serve a God who can do all things to they that believe. I think that sometimes the problems in our lives is that we don't have faith. We don't truly believe that he is the God of the impossible. If we look all throughout scriptures, God has prevailed. We look at the Israelites in bondage, and God prevailed. We look at Paul, a murderer, and God prevailed over those physical things, and he gave him a newness of life. God has called us to be bold, to live lives that glorify him. And God, he truly cares for you. He truly cares for you. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed would have new life. They would have new life in Christ. That whosoever believe, well, they will spend eternity in paradise with the Lord. So I'm here today to tell you that those giants in your life with Christ can be defeated. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that any obstacle that's placed in our way, Lord, that the Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. That no giant, no devil in hell can stop the plan of God. That the Bible says that you've purposed in us, you've predestined us, Lord, to greatness in Christ. So, Lord, may we be bold Christians. May we live lives that glorify you, knowing that you have power over all things, that you sit high and you see low, and that nothing is impossible with you, God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.